Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother.
Do the points in or points out debate right now, like as we're starting the show? This is what you want to, you're gonna ruin my morning.
Yeah, it's the point.
Points in,
that's what I try to do.
I remember my obligations, George.
I look at it this way, it's a transfer of energy. If I'm having a bad morning and I transfer that negative energy to you, I'm happier.
Maybe I'll switch it just for today.
You should
watch, it'll should probably give me though. 7 years of bad luck now.
Hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your host, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry.
Worshipful Brother Ken.
And I'm Carolyn Kelma, the 2023 Connecticut Teacher of the Year and national finalist.
Ooh, national finalist. Yeah. That's awesome. I've never been national anything.
We never have famous people up here either.
Yeah.
What? Yes, we have.
Oh, a couple. On occasion.
Scott Walter, yes. Pat Miletich. Yeah, I hope he comes beats the shit out of you.
Those guys are definitely
good. Pat Miletich, UFC fighter.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's a Freemason. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. The president of the National Border Patrol Council.
Yep.
Who could also end me.
Yep.
You just make a phone call.
Easily.
So I should probably keep my mouth shut.
Deport you back to Scandinavia.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Anyway.
Back to Finland.
We're up here today, we're going to ask about you and your connection with Freemason. I know it's with this idiot over here, but...
Oh, there's more.
There's more.
Mm-hmm. So, there's more.
So let's get started. Got into teaching.
Yes.
So what exactly do you teach?
So currently I teach biology to sophomores and biotechnology and forensics to upperclassmen.
Oh, you're a high school teacher.
Yes,
God
sir.
Bless you.
Thank you.
She would not have wanted to know me in
the
high
school. The fact that they have those classes in high school now is kind of amazing to me.
What did you take? Phonics?
I took like physics and chemistry. AP physics and AP chemistry I took in high school. That was it. That was like the most advanced science that we had.
Look at the big brain on Brad.
Yeah, I didn't say I did well in it, all right? You know, like a C minus. I didn't place out a chemistry.
Pulp Fiction reference.
Yeah. Brain on Brett, I think.
Yeah, no, I
got it. Oh, yeah. Brett. That's what it was.
Not to correct you, sir. But.
No, that's a good one. It
might be Brad.
Look at the brain on Brett.
Oh, it's Brett.
It is Brett.
She's right.
Yeah.
God damn it. We've been saying it wrong all along.
I ruined my Pulp Fiction reference.
Like 3 years doing this podcast.
So what got you into teaching?
Well, originally I wanted to be an elementary education major.
Okay.
And then I started it in college and I was like, oh no, I'm way too sarcastic for these guys. I just, I made them cry. So I was like, okay. So then I switched my major to biology because I was like, maybe teaching isn't for me. I think I made a mistake. But then I went right back.
How did that sticker get over here? I stuck on your shoulder.
I don't know. I'm the one made him shine.
I dropped it.
The hug. I gave him a hug.
I should actually stick that sticker on my child, my oldest, because I think he was made in China.
I'd send mine back.
Pretty sure that's where me and my wife were.
So you wanted to be elementary, but you went to high school because...
Yeah, because just... I was too sarcastic, and then I felt like maybe a teaching is wrong for me, so I did my major in bio.
Okay.
I graduated with that, and then I went back for master's in education. I missed it.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I do want to be a teacher, after all. Just not the littles.
So how did you get recognized by the state of Connecticut and then nationally? Like, explain the whole process of, like, how that works.
Well, it's a process. So you get nominated. Every town is different, but in Bristol, which is where I teach in Bristol, in my city, you get nominated, colleagues nominate you. Then you fill out an application. Then they whittle it down to two finalists. To two finalists. And then you win for the city of Bristol, or I won for the city of Bristol.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was good. And I was good there. But then as a winner, you apply for a state of Connecticut. So I'm like, of course I will.
So you have to apply?
Yes.
To keep moving. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, to keep going forward. So I applied. There was an application for Bristol, too.
Okay.
And then, so the state of Connecticut is a different application, but similar to the Bristol one, so that you're kind of know what you're doing. And then that was down to 16 finalists.
Okay.
Then down, which you interviewed in Hartford at the Capitol, and then down to four finalists. And then for the four finalists, they come to your school and they interview parents, teachers, students, and then like support staff, so guidance and office staff to see what kind of person you are. Wow. It's like spend a whole half day at your school. And then it's down to that after that. And
Jesus.
I won the Connecticut, and they do this beautiful ceremony at the Bushnell in Hartford, and that was nice. Yeah, and then Ken's wife was there. And
Emily made it. I didn't.
Yes. No, you were doing something. Yeah. Maybe here. Who knows?
Probably Mason stuff.
Yeah, probably. And then for national, so once you make state, then you have to apply. Well, you don't have to, but you're going to apply for national.
Right, right.
And so that was like a 2.5 week turnaround.
Oh wow.
For that application. Which is like a video and letters of recommendation. It's a whole, it's a thing.
It's like a whole process.
It's a whole thing, yeah. So
nerve wracking.
Yeah.
So, I know that there's some people. How do I explain it? Do you get like parents that are that? How does that work with the parents? I guess is what I'm asking. Like, do they get asked to recommend you, or do they kind of just like, no, I definitely want to write a recommendation for her?
So it's three letters, and I was like, you can get them from anybody.
Okay.
But I got one from my like the district teacher in learning, the head at the Board of Ed type person, who is wonderful. And then I was like, I should get a parent, and I should get a former student. You know, like I ask. Right, so right. I asked a parent, and I've taught all three of her sons. Like, they all came through my school, and now they're all doing amazing things. So I was like, I'm going to ask her. I'm going to ask Barb, you know?
Yeah.
And then
The reason why I'm asking is because if somebody asks me to do something, I'm like a super bad procrastinator, where it's like, I'll get to it. And then I just never do.
Yeah. Well, it was like a 2 weeks turnaround. They're like, okay, so the national application is due in 2 weeks. I'm like, whoa. Okay.
Wow.
So I had to be on it, yeah.
So it wasn't like getting military clearance where they send somebody in and they just interview everybody that you know and like go through your entire network and...
When they came to the school, they had like 75 people that were on the list of people to ask questions for. So that was a lot, but
yeah. It's pretty comprehensive.
What do they ask? Like, what are the questions?
I don't know, because I wasn't... That part wasn't me. You know, they're asking the parents.
You're
but
not
they were
privy
like,
to it all.
They, gotcha. One of the couple parents were like, tell us a time when, you know, Miss Kelmel reached out to you and something along those lines, you know.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah.
So it's you're not privy to the questions, though.
No, they take the parents in one room and the students in another and the staff in another room. It's a whole...
It kind of makes sense.
If you were a teacher, I'd shit all over you. I'm not going to lie to you, Ken.
Hey, you know what? I've gotten a couple reference on occasion, and I spoke very highly of you, so thanks.
What the hell did you get a recommendation from me for?
What?
Oh, never mind. Yes. My profession. Yes, okay. Yes, you're right.
Yes. Your usual vocation. But thanks. Now I know not to put you on my list of credit. Or
anything. No, now that you gave me a nice one, I have to do, if I would return, give another one, but he's too tall.
Yeah, he's too tall.
He's too tall. I don't like his hair. Nice. I'm jealous of his hair.
Yeah. Well,
so, let's talk about your connection with this goofball over here in Freemasonry.
Yes. Where? Okay. Well, so Ken and I, our sons go to school together. So our oldest sons, my son Henry, his son Riley, are at middle school together. Middle school.
Yeah,
the shivers. I know. It's rough, Ken.
Yeah.
So we've known each other since they were in elementary school. And we're pretty good friends. They come swimming at the pool. Mm-hmm. But the other connection I have to Freemasonry is my daddy was a Freemason in Southington at Friendship Lodge.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And what was his Masonic stature?
I don't know. It was
gone every night.
Yeah.
Never seen him.
His name was Frederick Coeur. So Frederick Coeur was his name. And so he passed a couple years back.
I'm sorry to hear that.
That's okay. Right before COVID. So I think he would have hated COVID. He would have hated wearing the mask. He was such a bull. So he just would have been like, this is bullshit. You know, like he just would have, I can hear him swearing now. But he was very active in that. And also like huge in Southington with Kiwanis and the American Legion. He was in the Army for a short stint. And he was on the board of directors at the bank. And he had a landscaping company since 1960. So over 50 years, he had a landscaping company. And some people call him the godfather of landscaping in Southington. I roll my eyes because he would have loved that term. But yeah, he was a really great man.
So
Friendship Lodge, that's right down the road, too. I had no idea that he was a member of Friendship in Southington.
Yep.
That's interesting. I know a lot of brothers from that lodge.
And we didn't even know that, Ken and I didn't even know that connection until I think until my dad passed. And then you were talking about it. I'm like, oh, my dad was a Freemason.
Yeah.
That's no
weird.
And he didn't ever talk about anything about Freemasonry. Never
Not
told
really.
You details.
No. Oh no. He was a. You know
what his rank was. Was he a past master or anything like that?
I don't know. I don't even know if my mom would know.
It's so funny. Like the old school Masons, man.
Yeah,
they kept
didn't.
It, like,
yeah.
Quiet.
They, it was down
40s,
low. We don't
60s,
talk about Freemasons.
And there are a lot
they
of
really
reasons.
Didn't.
Like, yeah. There are a lot of reasons.
Now it's
kind of
like open and stuff. But back then, yeah. Man, they didn't say nothing. They were
he was serious
silent.
About it. I know that much. And I couldn't touch his ring. It was on his bedside table when he wasn't wearing it. And I wasn't allowed to touch it.
Yeah, that's an old school Mason thing.
Yeah.
That's definitely old school.
I remember being, this is pretty. And he's like, put that down. That's not yours. And I'm like, what is it? And he's like, don't worry about it. You know, it was, yeah. But like, he just took it real seriously.
Wow. I know a couple guys like that still. And a lot of it comes down to the fact, I don't know if you knew this, Miss Carolyn, but back in, actually, there were a couple incidents over the years that caused Masons to kind of go a little bit more underground and be a little bit more circumspect about their membership. But one of them was during World War II, when Masons were actually one of the classes of citizens that got rounded up and sent to concentration camps.
Wow.
So that's one of the big reasons that, you know, some of the guys that are still around today, some of the older gentlemen that, you know, grew up in the 40s and the 50s and maybe even in the 60s just don't talk about their membership.
That makes sense, because he's 37.
So,
he's 37.
In regards to his ring, do you know if he wore the points out or in?
I do not.
I do it both ways. So.
One of the things I like doing is I like riling him and Joe up
into
a frenzy and get pissed off. I love doing it. I don't know. I'm like
Well, points
like a
in,
shark when
points
there's blood
in
the water.
Points out how you wear your Masonic ring is like a standard debate that's always gone on since the beginning of time. It's just like that's how you start an argument with Freemasons.
Yes.
It?
Okay.
Like, how do you wear your ring?
How do you wear your ring?
That's what he's trying to do. How do you wear your ring, George?
Points out.
Okay.
Because I've given light.
Do you even have your ring on?
No, I don't. I don't. Don't.
You're not entitled to an opinion.
I don't wear my rings or any rings because I just don't. I don't wear them at work. I'm not allowed to wear them at work.
Yeah. You're not a jewelry man anyway, right?
Nah, not really. Yeah. I don't even like wearing watches, but I have to when I'm at work because I can't touch my phone. So it's the only reason why I keep it. But I don't know. I wear rings when there's a meeting, but I don't wear it when I'm just out and about. I just don't. I don't know. It's just a thing. Like, I don't know. I don't wear, obviously, I don't wear it at work in case, you know, I have to go hands on with what I do. That probably wouldn't fare well.
I would think that would be a slight advantage in some circumstances, but, you know, teaches
because I'm not allowed to throttle somebody in the face either. Like, right. It's.
Me neither, actually, at my job.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about that, actually. Like, so, got teacher of the year for Connecticut, correct?
Correct, yes.
Do you feel like it would be different if you were teaching your own kids? Because me, for one, I know.
Absolutely.
Well, she had to during COVID, during lockdown. We were all kind of like absentee teachers. Not absentee teachers, but like interim
teachers. Yeah,
right?
Interim, there you go. Yeah.
So you had that opportunity.
There's got to be some Zoom video out there of some teacher with just my son in my hand holding the top of his head.
Keeping him straight.
Facing
the
damn computer.
Yeah. Eyes up.
How did that work when you did that?
It was terrible.
Terrible.
I'm very much of like a people person anyway. And, you know, part of my classroom, the reason it works is because I build connections with the students, right? Uh-huh. So when we went out in March of that year, it wasn't so bad because the students, we already had that connection and they worked for me and they turned their cameras on and they were great, you know? But then in the fall, when I got a whole new crop of students I didn't know,
right.
In our district didn't. It wasn't required for them to turn their cameras on.
Right.
Because some of them have issues at home and don't want you to see where they are. I'm in a big city, you know. So they didn't have to turn their cameras on, and many of them didn't. And sometimes I don't even know if they were there. Like, I called on some of them. No one answered. Like, it was so difficult to get any learning done. It was really a really hard year. But those days are over, right?
Yeah. God.
Please. They're never coming back.
Please, amen.
What type of teaching, how do I put it? Like, what is your teaching style? Because when I went to school, I had a teacher, Mr. DeRobertis, I'll never forget this guy. He had a yardstick, and he actually wrote on the side of the yardstick, the Intimidator.
Oh, my God.
And
I don't know if that was legal back then, man.
Banging desks.
He's younger than I am, too. I don't remember.
But it wasn't, he never hit a kid. I want to be clear about that. He never hit a kid. But he would bang desks and he was loud and eccentric. But realistically, it kept your attention.
Yeah, I guess so.
One, because you were worried he was going to hit you with the stick. And
well,
two,
he was only implying
he was just very enthusiastic about it. Like, he would just get loud at random points during the lecture. Like, and you're like, holy shit. Like, but it kept you engaged. So how, and then there was other teachers that were like, open your books to page 2. And they would just ran through the motions.
Or just phoned it in,
Just didn't started really doing head bob and just
like
trying
Ferris
to keep
Bueller,
it.
Yeah.
So how is your teaching skill? Like, what do you do to keep the students engaged?
That's huge. I use a lot of humor.
Humor.
Sarcasm is a good second language for me as well, like I mentioned before.
Really?
Yeah.
Even in real life.
Even if
she uses
it
sarcasm.
Profusely. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. But a lot of teaching for me is, again, like I said, making connections with the students. Like, if you can find the thing that they love and you can pull it into a lesson, and I know that sounds so silly to say, but I have, like, my whole windowsill is, like, Marvel characters and Stranger Things, like, little pop art, and, like, I have Legos of Yellow Submarine Legos and, like, Game of Thrones, yep, absolutely. Yeah. I have Daenerys up there. And, like, all, like, these, like, things to just to have. If one kid's like, oh, my gosh, you watched Mandalorian? I'm like, of course I do. Yeah. There's Grogu right there.
Then it's boom.
And
it's
then,
immediate
then we,
connection.
Yeah, you get this.
While you're pointing at the kid, you're like, there's Grogu right there. No, I'm kidding.
So they once you get that one thing, and it could be anything, it could just be, you know, something silly, but they once you get that, then they're yours, you know, like they want to learn because they think you have a connection with them. You've made this even a small little Grogu connection, you know.
Yeah, I mean, also it makes it very lighthearted too.
Yeah.
Again, what I do is we'll talk about it off air. I don't know. Did I say it on air before? Have I said what I do?
What you do?
I
think you talked about, like, in a very circumspect fashion, what your job role is or what organization you work for.
I'm a judicial marshal, so I deal with criminals and inmates and all that stuff, and they're getting innocent until proven guilty, what all that. But they come in and you know, they will make fun of you. They will pick on you and everything. One of the things I had a guy the other day was telling me, he's like, man, you got a shark fin in the top of your head because I'm bald. Yes, I get it. They make fun of your haircuts and stuff like that. And
it's
I
not by choice.
And realistically, it's me being a marshal, them being behind bars. It's tense, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, one guy was like, man, he's like, just let it go. He's like, just shave it off and let it go. And I made the joke. I'm like, nah, haircuts are like $20, you know, $20 to get your haircut. I'm just going to let God give me my haircuts and let it just keep falling out. And they got a good laugh at it, but it broke that.
Yes.
You know, and it's similar to a teacher and a student. Like, it broke that connection of, like, overseer
versus
you know
me,
what I mean?
Yes.
You versus
yes,
me.
Yes, I'm totally on their team, and they know that too.
Right.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I try to make it an open space so that all the students have a voice at the table. You know, like, I don't want anybody to feel like they don't belong. Because if a kid feels like they don't belong, immediately shut down. That wall goes up, you know?
Right.
So I have to make sure they have a voice at the table, they feel that they belong, and that it's a safe place. Because if they don't feel safe, there's no way you can learn.
Right.
So that's huge in my classroom, and big supporter of all the rights, and you can love whoever you love and whatever. We're here to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to make science fun.
Like, right.
Some
right,
kids
right.
are so scared of science and math. No, don't say the M word in class, you know.
Yeah.
But it's such a cool topic, and I teach some pretty cool things with biotechnology and forensics, and that's an elective class. It's not a forced class, so the kids I get in there are really excited about the class and being in there in general. Biology is a different story because they all have to take biology. But as long as I can
It's required?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's standard. Even when,
And then chemistry as a junior,
I remember.
So as long as I can make it accessible and relatable, like, and not so scary, that's that's huge.
So now there's the tougher question. Ready?
Okay.
You got a student. Because everybody, there's one in every crowd.
Oh, yes.
You got the student.
Sometimes several, yes.
Is this a hypothetical?
No, this isn't hypothetical.
It's not hypothetical.
There's always an asshole kid, let's be clear. Okay. Like, I'm going to say it flat out. It's just, all right,
you're going to paint a picture and then she
probably last name is Mudry, but whatever the case may be. Like,
just think of him in your
You thoughts. Always have that one kid who's a tough kid.
Right.
How do you handle that?
Again, and that's where I
There's some
find
of them that,
their thing, man.
But I mean, maybe I'm wrong. But there's always one that you just can't.
Oh yeah,
connect to.
You're absolutely right.
How do you handle that? Like, what do you do? Like, is it like iron fist at that point, or is it a different approach?
Like, no, I
try to get them to engage. Yeah, no, they don't.
There. So again, these connections are important, but it's not going to work for every kid. You're absolutely right, and that's I think a common misconception right now in teaching, like SEL, social emotional learning, is going to solve all the problems. Nope, absolutely not. It's not going to solve. It'll solve most. Like it really will. But there's going to be those students who just can't. And I'll tell you what I do with those students is I give them responsibility. You wouldn't believe.
I'll give them a purpose.
I give them a job in my classroom. And you wouldn't believe how much that changes their whole attitude. So I have like classroom jobs, like somebody takes attendance for me and somebody passes back paperwork and somebody signs people out to go to the bathroom.
And that's less work for you too.
Absolutely, Ken. Because I look at them and I go, who's out today? And they say the name and I'm like, thank you. And then I give them extra credit points at the end of the quarter for their for doing their job, if they do their job. Somebody, you know, I have all these little jobs. I have one person who's my athletic trainer who, wait for it. This is usually the trouble.
Biologist
job.
Just in front of the class in a front-leaning rest doing push-ups.
This is the dab usually for that kid. And this is what I mean, because our classes are 84 minutes. We have block scheduling. It's a long time for a student to sit, right? So their job is halfway through the class to be like, Miss Kelma, it's time to stand, or we have to go, we have to do something. So they'll everybody stands up, and sometimes we'll take a little walk around the school, just not around the whole school, but just a lap through a hallway just to get the blood flow back to the brain, which also helps me, because if they're losing, I don't usually lecture for 84 minutes. That would be a nightmare. But if we're doing an activity and we haven't stood for a while, it's their job to kind of do that. And so that just having a little responsibility in the class really makes them have ownership and like, it's my class. You know what I mean? And then they're like, don't mess with my teacher after that.
Right. And, and realistically, I mean, what's the human attention span? It's like 10, 15 minutes.
Well, especially
something
for
like
kids, too.
For kids. It's really short.
You're still a kid in high school. Like, you have to get up and walk around. You can't be lectured to like in college and expect to retain anything, I would imagine.
I have the attention span of a fly. Like, I literally will be paying attention. There's so many times
you're
worse talking
most,
to me,
I
and
think.
I'm like, you just go in the zone and your brain just goes somewhere else.
He does that during the podcast, too, during the recording. It'll just like shut down and stare at the camera like slack-jawed. I gotta slap him.
And then Ken's like, so, looking at me.
I'm running
the
show. Oh, yeah. What the hell are we talking about again? I do it all the time. So I wish that when we went to school, we were able to get up and go and move and do stuff. Because, I mean,
our teachers never did that.
No, I never did that.
Not even the best teachers.
Sat in Mr. Kirby's class, I was just like a zombie, a deer in headlights, just sitting in the back for like 40 minutes. I don't know how long classes were, like 40 minutes when we went to school.
Did you guys go to high school together?
No, but
No.
During the approximate same time. You're actually a few years younger than me, right, George?
A lot of years younger than you.
A lot of years younger than me? Okay, hold you? So 42.
Yeah, 29 again.
yeah, you're 29.
29 again.
But we went, you know, it was the same kind of, I think, teaching model in place during the times that we were in high school. So
you didn't go anywhere. They shut the door behind you.
Yeah,
the class
it was very,
stood there,
you know,
or sat there. And
yep,
very stoic.
Too,
and
yeah.
If you keep lecturing at the students, eventually they'll retain 70%, maybe if they're lucky. And then you get the next crop of students, and then you go. Like that was kind of the methodology, I think. And there weren't very many teachers that innovated on that at the time, at least.
But you probably remember the teachers that did.
Oh yeah, there were some, and those were the ones that inspired me to get into technology and to better myself, and I can do anything. Like those were the important lessons that I got, and it was from those teachers that, you know, separated themselves from the norm.
Right.
Did things a little bit.
Standing joke on the podcast is we call Ken a robot, so he can self-repair himself.
Yeah, that's because yeah, one person knows about computers and they become like the cyborg.
It was a couple of things. One, you knew about computers, and two, this used to be, it was the table was open. And one summer, it was just a regular table. This we built later.
Do we have to get into this?
Yes, we do. She needs to hear this because it's hilarious. We had just a regular table, and one day Ken decided to wear shorts in the summertime. And I don't know if you
There's no air conditioning up here.
I mean, I don't know if you can see Ken's pigmentation. Well, his legs
I've been
are
to her pool before. She knows what I look like.
All right. So somebody picked on him about his legs, and now the joke is it was fake skin, and he's Data from Star Trek and all that stuff.
Data.
And yeah, so
that's I can see it.
It's kind of where it came from.
Oh, yeah, Data. Yeah, now I see it. Yeah.
And I'm the angry dwarf, because apparently I'm pissed off all the time, so... Somebody called me a garden gnome the other day.
I could see that.
Yeah, call me a garden.
I'm going to have one of those AI things paint you as a garden gnome. I'll just feed it a picture and see what it comes up with. I can't wait.
And Joe's a redhead, so he's a ginger. That's
Yeah.
When he gets pissed, we call him a ginger snap and stuff like that. But yeah. So getting back on the teaching aspect of it, I had a question before. And I can't
Since we're talking about data and AI, okay. That's a new thing that's coming out with education too, right? That's a
We didn't have any of that when we went. So there was no computer labs or. Right.
Tell me they don't have like ChatGPT generating lesson plans for. Oh, Jesus.
Yes. Well,
I remember Oregon Trail. Do you?
No.
I remember that too.
Nobody won. Nobody ever won Oregon Trail. You. Always died every time.
And also, you only had like, well, at least when I'm a little older than both of you, when it was 30 minutes in the computer lab, you had 1 day a week where your class was get to go to the computer lab. True, and it was for 30 minutes. So how could you be Oregon Trail in 30 minutes?
And it was MS-DOS. Like you just put the floppy disk in and you had
20 minutes to boot up.
Most of the lesson was just getting the game to operate.
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
15 minutes in, you haven't even turned the computer on yet.
No, booting up. Booting up. Yeah. Is it even a thing anymore?
All right, so this.
We don't talk about it because it happens so quickly.
Yeah,
and then there was AOL Online. Welcome. Kids will never understand.
No, I know. Never. Your kids today are.
And then your old man would be down the hallway, pick up the phone. I need to use the phone! And that was it. Poof, internet was done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your aunt would call.
Aunt would call, yep. You're always pissed off when a phone call would come through.
Mm-hmm.
Just in AOL chat rooms, just like ASL.
Yeah.
You don't remember that, do you?
No, that was like my early dating
age, sex, location. ASL. Yeah. So I need you to explain something to me.
Okay, yes, sir.
I have little kids.
Okay.
They come home with math. No, first off, I'm an idiot.
You're not
an
idiot. You're just not good at math.
This is. I can't even get radio codes at work, like, because it's numbers.
We got a growth mindset. You're just not good at math yet.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
Explain to me Common Core math.
I don't teach it.
You don't?
Thank God.
Well, I'm science, and it's high school science, so I don't.
Oh my God.
Because of I have a son as well who went through that, right, with Ken's son.
Oh my God.
And I was
God.
Like, what?
Oh, yeah.
But it makes sense to them. Like, my son gets it.
They went through that during lockdown, too.
Yeah.
My kid would be like, Dad, can you help me with my math? And I'm looking at him.
Nope.
I don't fucking know, kid. Like,
I can answer it for you.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, I can answer it for you. Or long division. They don't do that shit, apparently, either.
It's a
they
little
do,
different.
But it's different.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah,
it's a
I agree.
Strategy.
Like I'm like you do this.
What do you want? Trigonometry? What the hell is this shit? Like,
no, but by the time they get to your classroom, I would think,
yes.
Carolyn, like they already like you either know algebra or you don't, right?
Yeah. So they're taking algebra or geometry at the level that they come in. I know.
So you don't have to teach them the process. It's like
sometimes I do, and then but it's not. We don't do any complex. Crazy math and like we do a little bit of algebra but nothing no calculus or anything
it's
funny too because like when I went finally with when I got out of high school and I was like oh no more algebra no more math I don't have to worry about it went into the Marine Corps and what do you think freaking long distance shooting is math
it's basically calculus
calculus
trigonometry
and I love that when am I going to use this again
when am I going to use this again bam there it is literally within a year
when you don't have a ballistics calculator and you have to do all that crap longhand out in the field that's when you need the
wonderful so I didn't know if you taught Common Core math or you understand it or know it because we'd be having a full on conversation because I can't help my kids I don't know what to tell you just
I know. Well, there was during the COVID, there was times when I had the YouTube video up to show me how to do it. Because I knew how to solve the problem, of course.
There's YouTube videos on that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. Oh, gosh. Try that out.
Because you can't teach the kids a different way to do it.
No, because this goes back.
No, that's what I'm like, when I did it this way, but I can't teach him that way.
This goes back on our whole attention span thing. 15 minutes, I'm sound asleep. I'm missing the whole lesson.
They got short ones, George. They got like 5 minutes. Can you do five? We'll see.
I don't know.
Your attention. There's some science that says some science. There's a different attention span science. Some people say it's this. Some people say that. But some people say it's half your age your attention span.
We're getting into conversation right now. I'll have a question. Forgot it. 2 minutes ago. Forgot it. Forgot the question. What I was going to ask.
So it's half your age in seconds or like
for George? Yes.
Because I'm 29 again.
You're telling yourself that
again. That's the key word right there.
Yeah. Growth mindset. Yeah.
So what's next for the national thing?
Okay, so right. So I went to Washington, D.C. to interview
Okay.
With the five finalists. This is the first year that there's five finalists. Usually it's four finalists. And I said, well, why are there five this year? And, oh, because the competition's so stiff. Great. That's not what I want to hear. But nice. Okay, so that's fine. Okay. So there's five of us. It's me, Washington, D.C., who is from Waterbury, actually. His name is Jermar Roundtree. Then Oklahoma, Illinois, and Alaska is the fifth finalist, right? So there's five of us. So we went to D.C. to interview, and now it's a waiting game. 2 to 5 weeks we have to wait, mid-April.
So there's five of them?
Five finalists.
I think you need to get on the phone with Pisani. He makes people disappear. It's a Waterbury Mafia.
No, we're not going to make people disappear.
What?
There are other ways to influence things.
Stiff competition. Pisani will start clipping people.
We're not engaging the Waterbury Mafia.
I do not condone.
I didn't say that. Did I say that? I didn't say that. I just said talk to Pisani. What the hell?
I'll
have you ever met Joe Pisani?
No.
Okay.
He's a good guy.
He's like me on my shoulder.
We're just making fun here. He's not
a big guy.
Super Italian, you know, shows up with wine from, like, I don't know, Sicily or whatever.
Oh, yeah, he has, like, a wine caddy. Like, this cute little, like, Tuscan wine caddy made out of, like wicker.
A little suitcase. Yeah. My dad had one of those.
But he's, like, you know, he walks in here. He's dressed. He's, like, in a full suit. He's got a pocket square. He's got, like, an overcoat.
Where are you going?
Yeah, we're all here in, like, T-shirt and jeans and stuff. And he's got his wine caddy with like glasses and stuff.
Yeah,
he's got Kevin with him, and Kevin is twice the size of him, and Joe is tall.
His buddy that he used to bounce with.
I'm telling you, he's a bodyguard.
It's always fun when they walk in. But they're like the nicest guys in the universe. They're Masons, and like through and through, they're not, you know,
the nicest guys. Kevin don't say anything. He just stands in the corner like.
No, he's if you get him talking, he's like the sweetest guy. Like, they are both teddy bears. Oh, maybe you just rubbed them the wrong way. Maybe.
I didn't. No, I would not rub him in any way because he's big as shit and I don't feel like getting killed.
Anyway, we digress. They're nice guys.
Yeah, right. So that's why I'm saying we should find out who the other finals are and let them meet.
Yeah, okay. Well, at any rate. Not going to do that. So what do they do
I wonder which way his rings are pointed, in or out. Interesting.
Well, I'll ask them after the podcast. So during this whole like multi-week period, after you guys have already done your interviews and all the stuff that's necessary for the national competition, what are they doing? Are they like deliberating?
No,
they just don't tell you.
I feel like they already know, Ken, and they're just not telling us. Oh. You know, like it's like one of those things. I feel like
pomp
we're just
and circumstance bureaucracy.
Yes, because when they do make the announcement, it's going to be on. CBS Mornings, so they're doing it live on TV.
Oh, so they're going to produce the whole thing.
Yeah, so it has to be like all the, you know, cogs and wheels have to turn in the right directions and make sure everybody's covered and fly the person out or drive them or however it's going to work. I don't know. So
where do you have to go? D.C.?
I don't actually know. Where does CBS Mornings film?
Undisclosed location.
New York City?
New York City.
I would think it would be
New York City.
Yeah. So.
Undisclosed location. Pisani's running security.
Yeah, exactly. Pisani and Kev.
What do you get when if let's say you win? What do you get?
Okay, so if you win, you're on sabbatical for a year from teaching, so you have the year off of teaching.
They give you a whole year off.
Yeah, and so a year sabbatical, and you like tour the country, promoting education and.
When I touch, I'm touching shit. Sorry.
Doing commencements and stuff like that.
I would think so, yes. Yeah. And like that's speaking at educator conferences and probably high schools across the country or other schools, not just high schools, but districts around the country. And
that's cool.
Promoting the career, yeah.
That's awesome. What are the perks of becoming Teacher of the Year for the state of Connecticut? What did you get out of that?
That's a good one.
I can't wait until
she's
you
the principal.
About
I know.
It. I'm super jealous.
Well, actually, and Ken, I just learned that being a state, I get a free. I have to still do the work for it, but I get a free PhD.
What?
Yes, at Walden University. I'm so excited about it.
Holy crap. Yeah. So you're going to be like a doctor of education?
Dr. Kelma. Isn't that exciting?
I'm going to use your title. I don't care that it's like, right? You know, not like, I'm not a medical doc. Too bad. You're Dr. Kelma from now on.
I still have to do all the work and research and all the, you know, the coursework for it. But I do get to do it at no cost.
How would that work now at school? They'd have to call you instead of, you know, teacher, you'd be doctor, like
Dr.
whatever.
Dr. Kelma, yeah. Doesn't that sound great?
Awesome.
That's awesome, especially for a science teacher.
Yeah, totally, yeah,
like,
totally.
We're not going to screw around with this teacher this year.
That's
like,
crazy.
Yeah. But the other cool perks are, like, so there's little perks and then there's bigger perks. Like, one of the little perks for Connecticut. So Connecticut does a whole, like, thing. And some of the little, like, I went to the Mark Twain House and I got a tour of the Mark Twain House.
Cool.
That's exciting. But I also get to go to.
Where the hell is that?
Hartford.
Hartford. You never went to that?
What's the one in Shelton? It's a Mark Twain something or other down there.
Oh, there's one
in Mark Twain's bar or something.
No, it's Reading. In Reading? Is that the one you're talking about?
No, no, no. Right on...
oh, I don't know.
Was it 110 that goes from Shelton down to...
Yeah, I know the area, but I don't know anything there's one notable right on the about Mark Twain side. In that area.
Hmm? I don't know. I know he retired in Reading.
He smoked a cigar on the corner.
It's quite possible.
One,
yeah,
one
they do love doing that with Mark Twain, and so we did that. So then we also go to Mohegan Tribe does a thing with the tribe elders,
cool.
And they take us through their whole museum. I'm really excited about that. It's like a whole day.
That's cool.
And then that should be amazing. And then Mystic Aquarium does a day with us, and so there's like a whole bunch for just Connecticut. And then
that's cool.
Get this, I get to go to Space Camp.
Oh,
in
I'm
Alabama.
So jealous.
Space Camp,
yeah,
in July. I'm very excited.
What's Space Camp? Is that like Elon Musk shoots you up to the moon or something?
I don't think so.
It's not quite that cool.
I don't know. I've never been to Space Camp before, but I assume like a anti-gravity something or other.
Yeah, it's like a whole astronaut experience,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Like
really?
It was like the one thing that we always wanted to do when we were kids. Maybe not you, but like everybody wanted to do it, and she gets to do it. It's like training to be an astronaut, man. It's
That's cool.
Super cool. You get to play with like simulators and stuff that you would never see at like the Smithsonian or like at the Science Museum up the road in Hartford. Like, you know, it's a pretty big deal.
That's cool.
I did hear a rumor, Ken, that we do get like blue jumpsuits with our names on them.
Oh.
You know I'm going to wear that.
That's
every
gonna be
Halloween.
Your Halloween costume.
Every Halloween.
Now, yeah.
I love that we both went to the same thing. That's going to be your Halloween
costume. That's so cool.
I don't know if that's true, but that's what I heard.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So that's July.
And where's the space camp?
Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a weird spot for it. I thought it was in...
No, because it's close to Cape Canaveral.
I think it's Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Could be wrong.
Yeah, so it's near the coast. I thought it was either part of the Kennedy complex or like in Houston, but Alabama.
Yeah, no, yeah. Hmm. Yeah,
that's cool.
So that'll be cool, and then I get to go to the in January the football, the college football championships.
Oh, that's cool! Also very cool.
God,
do you get to bring your family?
I don't know. Not to space camp. I was already asking about that one. I was hoping because I.
Why
could
would
bring
you want to? I'm going to space camp. Bye, guys.
No. But I mean,
my 11-year-old. Come on, my 11-year-old.
Yeah,
he's all about
he
that.
Be,
yeah.
All of our kids, I think, are like stoked going to space camp.
But I don't know about. I think college, the college football championships. I think I get a plus one. But we'll see.
Oh.
And then there's at the end of April. After
so Ken's going to be kissing your ass for a while. So you're going to be getting phone calls. Oh, how's your day? How's everything going?
Pretty sure her husband is still going to win that.
I'm pretty sure,
that's
too.
Right.
He's still cooler than me.
Ken gets a text back from your husband. I will kill you.
Yeah, I don't mess with him.
And then end of April is Washington week. So we get to go to Capitol Hill and...
Oh, that's
meet
cool.
Joe and Dr. Jill. I'm excited to meet Dr. Jill.
Get a chance. Go over to Alexandria and check out the George Washington.
The George Washington Masonic Memorial.
Oh,
it's a huge building.
It's a huge building. It's kind of like an obelisk, I guess.
Yeah.
But you can go off the floors all the way and look over the roof and everything.
Oh,
it's really
fun.
Cool. It's got all kinds of Mason goofy shit in there and like that.
Mason goofy shit. I like
Mason goofy shit.
Yeah. There's a gigantic square encompasses
the
front lawn, too, that if you're flying into D.C., you can see.
Oh, yeah, you can see it, yeah.
Oh, I saw the walk. Yeah, that's when you fly into Ronald Reagan Airport there.
Yep.
There's the Washington Monument right there. And I'm like, sightseeing, check.
And when you go in, like, there's a massive marble statue. Is it marble or bronze? I think it's bronze, isn't it? Of George Washington.
I believe it's
bronze.
I don't
know. I didn't see that.
Giant. It's huge.
Cool.
It like dwarfs, what's his name? The other guy sitting in the chair.
Abe Lincoln.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But this is, it's not the Washington Monument like in central D.C.
It's in Alexandria.
It's a separate
monument. And the other place to check out is the House of the Temple.
Oh, yeah. The Scottish
Rite. Is that
also in
Alexandria?
That is in actually Washington, D.C.
Okay.
It's, what is it? I know they actually, so the streets are like, they go up in number. It's like, they actually got it changed in the post office. So it says 33 something, right? It's like,
yeah. Because 33rd degree is a 33rd
degree,
Scottish
Rite degree. But the whole building is marble. And like the inside, it's got a big oculus in the top of the ceiling, everything.
It is.
Giant,
it
huge
is
place.
Posh.
It's and it's got a museum in the basement, too. If you
it's
like
the that. Headquarters of the Northern Masonic Jurisdiction of Scottish Rite. So it's opulent. And it's
doesn't it also have Neil Armstrong's apron and all that stuff
on
it, too?
All of his Masonic
stuff.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
wild.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's got the, I think, the flag, too, or the thing from... when they went to the moon.
I think it's a duplicate of the flag that went to the moon.
Yeah. It's nice. Got all kinds, so it's not just our crap.
Oh, yeah. There's some interesting history.
It's got other stuff in there. Interesting
it's
history.
Not just, yeah, it's not just Mason goofy stuff. It's,
no.
Yeah, Mason there's some real history there. And it's a beautiful building. The architecture is amazing.
Yeah. Nice. It's all made out of marble. It's
sounds
wild.
Like.
So you also get another perk I'd like to announce.
As, what's that?
As a finalist for National Teacher of the Year, you get a free tour of Morningstar Lodge.
I
in Seymour, Connecticut.
See?
Whoopee doo!
I'm excited.
I was trying to play it up, George.
So far, I've only seen the bathroom.
Yeah.
And this room.
Bathroom's pretty cool, though, right?
Yes, it's a nice bathroom.
Oh, no, she will actually like this because we have a certain thing behind the secretary's desk she might enjoy.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, that's a perk of the tour.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, that's the only cool thing we got in there.
No, there's a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Especially if your father was a Mason. I mean, I think you'll see some, you know.
Oh, and before I forget to say about my father being a Mason, his funeral was so beautiful. You guys came.
Oh
my God.
Yeah.
Of course, I wept earlier, but I lost it for that part. It was just so beautifully, so well done. They were so organized. The gentlemen the Masons who were there were just, it was amazing. Mm. And I don't want to leave without saying thank you for that.
Mm. It's our duty. It's our obligation. It's a sad ceremony. It's a sad duty, but it's one that we all have to perform. So we try to.
Why do you make it sound like that?
It was beautiful.
What, that it's sad? It is sad.
It's our
dude.
Duty. It's our
well,
duty.
It is. It's part
like
of our.
Like, we don't
want to
be there.
Well, that too, but dick. I was trying to show that it's both. It's a little bit of both.
I'm screwing with you, dude.
We would be there even if it was, you know, too heartbreaking for us to be there. We've been to a few recently, George, that are super heartbreaking. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But we, you know, we wanted to be there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's how we show our respect for the brother that passed. So
yeah,
the
Masonic funeral is it's
special,
powerful,
and powerful.
It's very,
absolutely,
very cool. And it's also cool to see, like, you know, when you know, again, like, I don't really. Thing we contemplate our death. I mean, it's no thing, but like, you don't really expect like other people to. You expect it when you go to like a wake or a funeral, you expect it's just my family, and then you get an entourage of. I mean, Marty's had how many Masons?
There were like 150 or something Masons that came through,
and you're literally looking at all these people like, holy shit, like,
yeah.
Like, I didn't know my father was that special to these people, and they're just coming up and they're doing their thing.
It's a whole other family
wow.
that rolls in.
It definitely is, yes. Yeah.
Pretty wild.
It's awesome.
What do you say? You want to give her the tour?
Yeah, might as well.
Give her the tour.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yes, thanks for having me. That was fun.
You need to keep us informed and let us know how you do.
I'll tell Ken.
And if you know, if there's any problems, we have Joe Pisani.
We got people for that.
And we got people for that.
Yeah, depending on the type of problem. I want to be clear. There's certain ones we can't solve, but we do know people.
Just what's his name standing behind the judges? Like, it's the wrong one.
Choose better.
Arms crossed. And his black t-shirt and jeans. It's the wrong one.
One to the left.
Yeah, it's the other box.
We'll see what we can do.
But anyway. For the Freemasons podcast, I'm Ray Worship Brother George Mudry signing off.
Worship Brother Ken signing off.
Oh, and Carolyn Kilmus.
Good luck to you.
Yeah,
thank
good
you.
Luck.
Thanks,
thank you
guys.
So much for
thanks
coming
everybody.
Up, Carolyn.
All right. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.